Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, guys, top of hour two. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I didn't get to it last half of the hour.
Get to it now,
last
brother.
Segment, but it... Ask the Pros, guys, where you, the Sklones, get to ask us questions brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
I got tweets.
You got tweets. Well, we're at Sklar Brothers. Follow us there on Instagram. You can follow us there at Sklar Brothers. We're on TikTok. Just when they're about to ban it. How about that?
Talk about that timing. Sklar Brothers, get right up on TikTok as it's going out the door.
Well, before we have our guest on the line right now. Okay. I'm very excited to talk to him. At the top of the show, we talked deeply about how conflicted and sad we were, but just we are conflicted. We can hold many thoughts in our brains at one time.
Maybe he can help us sort some of them out.
The Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the MAC and all that stuff basically postponing their seasons. This is a man who talks and lives college football. He does a great podcast in the trenches. He's got a new one called Concrete Heroes.
He's on Playbook, which is another
on Sirius Radio. And he played one of the greatest college linemen ever to play the game, certainly at the University of Michigan, and then went on to have a decorated and fantastic pro career with Washington and many other teams. John Jansen joins us. John, how you doing, buddy?
Well, good and bad.
Right, of course.
Good because, hey, I'm smiling this morning. I got a chance to wake up and see my daughters and my son and my beautiful wife.
Yep.
Bad because we all know what happened yesterday. We lost a passion.
Yep.
For a little while. And, you know, when I say we lost a passion, it's postponed, right? And whether it's postponed to the winter or spring, whatever you want to call it, depends where you live in this country, mm-hmm. or it's postponed till next football season, it will be back. And it's just frustrating to know that maybe there was more we could do, but
yeah.
We don't know what that is because there's very little information the decision makers are sharing with us right now.
Here's my question, John, and I know you'll appreciate this too. It's not like this just happened last week that we found ourselves in this situation. They canceled the NCAA basketball tournament last March. Shouldn't that have been the moment that the NCAA said, okay, how do we save college football right now?
Well, there's a lot that goes into an answer like that. And first is, you know, yes, we had some time. We had 5 months mm-hmm. to try and figure this out, which the first couple of months you would think, hey, we have to learn more about what's going on as a country,
right.
as you know, those that are in charge of trying to, you know, the safety and health and welfare of our student athletes, right? We have to figure
right.
out what we're dealing with.
Correct.
And then you have to figure out, okay, now we know a little bit more. Let's use this information that if things don't get any better from May until August, how do we create an environment where we can move forward, not hit the pause button on everybody's life, but find a way to live with this virus or to come up with a protocol or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
That is the disappointing part is that we did have time. It wasn't like when basketball was canceled, we were shocked. We were
right.
surprised because we didn't see it coming.
Right.
This has been coming for 5 months, and it feels like we were very unprepared for it.
And yet there are schools like, and obviously you have a closeness with and you have a deep connection to the University of Michigan and what they've been able to do, and zero positive tests in the last couple rounds of testing. And there are schools that have put a lot of time, a lot of money and effort into making sure that they are as clean as possible with regards to this. And you got to feel for those programs because they're kind of being brought down by a lack of uniformity across the NCAA.
And it highlights the need for, one, better leadership
yep.
across all forms of athletics here at the college level. But you also have to have somebody in charge of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And the Power Five is separate from the FCS. It's separate from some of the other divisions. And if that's going to be the case and they can operate differently, then somebody needs to be in charge of the Power Five. You need to have that commissioner. And if for nothing else, that in the future, if you are faced with a decision like this, that there is, you're not looking at one medical board that is making decisions for the SEC, one medical board that's making it for the Big Ten. And there seems to be a lack of communication between them. But there's, and I don't even know if it's a lack of communication, but it is the lack, or it's the difference in which they interpret the information. And that's really
the thing. That's the thing.
You have the disconnect.
So, John, I mean, you played, and you played for 4 years at the University of Michigan. You're a player. You, in your heart, and you know what these players are going through, getting ready for a season like this. You're, you know, the off-season workouts now for players and things that players do to train to get ready, probably more than what you guys even did back in the day. So they have invested so much time and effort and energy and trainers and this and that to try and get ready. You know they want to go. And especially in a program that has kept it clean, they want to go and they want to play more than anything. But as a parent, as a father, the conflict comes when you're like, you sent, you know, Jim Harbaugh sits down in a living room with a family and the parents are like, are you going to take care of my kid? That's the biggest question. We're not going to be around him. Are you going to take care of him? That has to supersede everything. That's how this is complicated.
Well, and I'll give you two stories, and I hope I don't take up too much.
Go for it, buddy. You're here. This is why we're here with John Jansen. Go ahead.
When I was being recruited back in 1993 and 94, mm-hmm. my dad, and I'll never forget this, when I committed to the University of Michigan, we sat down and we talked about it, and he said, you know, you're 18 years old. You can start, you're going to have to start making some decisions for yourself, but mm-hmm. you will always be my son. You will always be my child. And you are going to go to a university. You're going to play football. You're going to experience a lot of different things. You're going to have to make a lot of different decisions that I won't be able to be there to guide you in. The phone is always there, but I won't be there physically.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, and this is my dad's talking, I'm very comfortable sending you to the University of Michigan where you have Gary Moeller, you have Lloyd Carr, you have Jim Herman, Mike DeBoer, Terry Malone, Bobby Morrison, mm-hmm. Soup Campbell. You could go right down the list. I am comfortable because I've had a chance to get to know these men, and they have the same values that I have for you.
That's right.
And so that was me as a recruit. And now I'm looking at Jim Harbaugh in the midst of a pandemic, and I don't know how things are done elsewhere. I do know coaches. I talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to what Jim Harbaugh did, he, on a weekly and sometimes daily basis, would have, you know, everybody talks about the Zoom calls and all this stuff. He would have those calls with as many parents as could be available at that moment.
It's big.
And he would continue the conversation with them, wanting to know what their concerns were, wanting to hear from them. What protocol are in place? Because amongst those, parent groups, you've got Chris Hutchinson, who was a teammate of Jim's. He's also a captain, former captain of Michigan All-American, but he is now an ER doc here at Beaumont Hospital in Detroit.
That's right.
So you've got people that are qualified to give you advice, not just as a player, not just as a, as a dad, but mm-hmm. also as a doctor.
Yeah.
And so he engaged the parents as much as he possibly could, because even though these kids are adults and they can make decisions for themselves, they will always be their kids. They will always be their children, and they want to be informed, and they want to feel like they have say in what is going on. I thought Jim did a great job of doing that.
But it's not those programs that you're worried about. It's the athletic director at Nebraska saying he wants a full stadium. It's the Colorado State football program saying, don't tell us if you have symptoms.
Cough into your arm and don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone you've got, we're going to keep that quiet and not report it. Those are the things that bother and that upset, and should upset parents whose kids play.
You're 100% correct, and it comes down to protocol. It comes down to, and this gets back to the initial question that you asked me, across college football, and due to whether it's just the fact that there was nobody that even had the power to do this, of instituting protocol that you would have to follow, so that whether you were in Ann Arbor, You were in Bloomington, Indiana. You're in Tuscaloosa. You're out in L.A.
Right.
You're up in Boston. It doesn't matter. We know that everybody is following the same protocol, and it needs to be a third party that does it.
So absolutely.
Not somebody the coach could say, hey, man, let's lose that sample.
Right.
And that's where you need the leadership, and you need that position of power to say this is how it needs to be done, and this is how we're going to do it everywhere.
Let me ask you a question, John, about some of the players who, you know, if we don't have a season, this was going to be their final season. Are we talking about a possibility of guys perhaps transferring to leagues that are going to play? Like, take a look at it, and this is a crazy scenario in thought, but a guy like Justin Fields, if he's not playing at Ohio State this year, the year that he could have perhaps won a Heisman Trophy, who's to say he doesn't go down to LSU and play quarterback for LSU or something like that? I mean, have we opened up perhaps a can of worms that may not be able to be put back in right now because some leagues are playing and some aren't?
There's no question. And you know, that could happen. There are some eligibility rules that would have to be worked through and the waiver process, all that stuff. And it brings us back to players' rights. Should they be able to transfer and be immediately eligible, you know, one time, maybe twice during their career? Or is there an exception because it's a pandemic? But you also go further down the road and you think about recruiting.
Yeah.
Well, the Big Ten did this and the Pac-12 did this in 2020. The SEC played, the ACC played, the Big 12 played, there becomes a disparity that may already be there in a lot of minds across the U.S. of where the talent is going. Now you increase that by the fact that there's no uniformity in college football.
Unless some kids get sick, and then that works to the other people's benefit where they're saying, we protected you, where they didn't care. They cared about money. They didn't care about, you know what I'm saying?
Which, like, no one is hoping for.
No, I hope everyone's safe.
I hope everyone's safe. I hope that we don't have to have that conversation. And if the worst is we're trying to argue about, you know, recruiting in 5 years and trying to come back from, you know, the SEC played and the Big Ten didn't, I'm okay with that conversation. Sure. But it also comes down to an assumption of risk. Mm-hmm. There is an assumption of risk when I walk out my front door. And for the better part of two decades, there was an assumption of risk when I walked in the locker room, put on my pads, and walked on the field. You have a choice as to whether you want to take that risk or not. Mm-hmm. You throw in a pandemic and you throw in a coronavirus,
and the risk goes up.
We're starting to learn more about it, but we don't really know enough, or we don't know as much as some would like. Then it still should, in my opinion, come down to the individual. Mm-hmm. And we have heard from commissioners. We heard from Mark Emmert. We heard from athletic directors, coaches. Hey, if you're not comfortable, you can opt out. And we saw, you know, about 40 guys do that out of 12,000 kids.
Right. You saw some big names too.
At
big
some
names.
Point, you have to be able to make that decision for yourself.
Right. So let me ask, because we did talk about, and you very clearly mentioned at the top, that there's a possibility that it happens, the season happens in the winter or the spring, depending upon where you are. And I know there's a lot of talk about, wait, we don't want to eat into the next college football season. We don't want to eat into that, the year, where it starts and the timetable. Why is that such a pristine thing? Why, you know, we're in crazy times right now. I mean, we should be able to bend and manage that too.
Isn't some football better than no football?
Well, yes and no. And right now we're kind of in limbo for a lot of the same reasons we talked about. What happens if, you know, the SEC does go ahead and play in the fall, and yet the Big Ten is going to try and play in the spring? Those athletes, and then throw into that the NFL.
Sure.
Because every kid wants that opportunity. I wouldn't say every kid. A majority of the kids would love that opportunity to be professional athletes. Mm-hmm. What do they do with the combine? What do they do with the draft? If the SEC plays their full schedule or part of it, and those kids are able to prepare for the combine when it happens, yet you can't in the Big Ten, you can't in the Pac-12, that completely changes the conversation. And then to make it even worse, what happens with eligibility? And
right.
and then if we don't play in the spring or the winter, what happens with eligibility at that point? There's just so many complications of trying to make that happen that, yes, there, to me, any football is good football.
Right.
And I don't care what time of the year it's played.
That's right.
I don't care how you have to play it, what you have to wear. I think any football is good football. but there are so many obstacles to overcome. And right now it's mainly complicated by the fact that we still think that there may be some teams that play this fall.
We'll see if that happens. We will see if that happens. And everyone has to be safe in order for that to happen. But I'm not convinced that there is going to be football this fall. I just am not. I know that places want to go full steam ahead. But I really do think in the end, it will be about the safety of the players first and foremost. And so, I mean, look, this may be the time, and we can talk about this too as our last thing we can talk about here, for players to organize. You know, the players don't have a voice. You were a college player and you were a pro player. You didn't really have a voice as a college player. Do these players need a voice to have and sit at the table and have their feelings be heard?
They should. They most definitely should. And they are starting to be heard. But I tell you what, if they want to be heard even louder and they want to still play, what's wrong with trying to file an injunction and say, hey, hold on a second here. We could still hit the pause button and see what happens in a couple of weeks. And don't think that it's just a matter of liability in case somebody were to get sick and somebody were to die. Yes, there is liability there. But what about some of the lawsuits that may come from players that said, hey, you have harmed my future potential earnings?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're at right now as well, because there's no answer is a good answer.
Right.
And there is no right. And quite honestly, I don't think there's a wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lose-lose situation.
Right. And look, I'm hoping that things get figured out to a point where we can see some football in the winter or the spring from the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the MAC and all that. That to me would salvage it in some way. If I knew that was going to happen, this wouldn't be as much of a blow. But, you know, we love college football and the fall and all the pageantry that comes along with it. We love it as much as anybody. But at the same time, we want to make sure this thing is being done correctly.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Sure. I know you guys are probably up against the break, so I'll make it quick.
It's okay.
Would you rather have a full 2021 fall football schedule as it's already on the calendar, or would you be willing to modify that so that you could get a handful of games in what we're calling the spring football?
I would be okay with modifying it as long as I knew that we got games. I would be okay with it. And if I knew that everyone could follow the same protocols and know that it was safe and know that, like, it's the kind of thing was outside tested and that we knew people could have zero positives, so that when we know those guys get on the field that they're going up against people who are clean.
It's like watching NBA games. We're not worried because we know everyone has been tested in that bubble. What I would say is the modified schedule that the Big Ten released last week, to me, was an interesting and very cool schedule. The crossover games were great. There were built-in moments of, hey, if we need to take a step back. I actually thought it was a very well thought-out schedule. If that was the schedule that appeared, something like that in 2021, and you get a few games at the beginning of 2021, I'm down with that. How about you, Jansen?
I am, and I'll tell you what I'm down with. If we get to January 1st, and who knows what we're talking about at that point.
Right.
Who knows if there's a vaccine or if there's a better way to treat it when
right.
somebody does get it. That's the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But when January 1 rolls around, I tell you what, I am going to throw one of the best parties, and you guys are my first two invitees.
You get it. We're there.
We'll be there for you, buddy.
Let's hope it happens, and let's hope we do get football. Thank you for bringing some clarity to this discussion with us.
You can check him out on In the Trenches is his podcast. His other podcast is Conquering Heroes,
which is great.
You can hear him on Playbook. John Jansen, thanks for joining us,
buddy. @JohnJansen77 on Twitter. Am I right, John?
Follow him. Yep.
You nailed it.
Dude,
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time, fellas.
You're the best. Keep doing what you do. All right. There you go.
That
clarity.
Some things up.
Yeah. I couldn't say the word clarity. That was my problem. I couldn't say the
that's
word.
That's how unclear you are.
That's how unclear
situation.
I am. All right. Let's take a break.
Difficult situation. You heard from the guy right there. He told you we're in a difficult situation. And you know what? This is a mess. Hopefully we get through it on the right side and people stay healthy.
As we mentioned, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We'll be right back at Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
Down, get down. Jungle boogie. Get it on. Jungle boogie. Jungle boogie.
All right, guys. Middle of hour two. That is the indie rock song from Cool and the Group. Cool and the Kids, right?
Cool and the Guys.
COOL and the Kids. We have the Sklar Brothers, and we're filling in for Jim Rome. We're so happy to be here today. Jim's on vacay. Thank you, Jim, for letting us do this.
If you like what we do, we have a podcast, sports podcast called View from the Cheat Seats. Comes out every Friday.
Tony Loughman's going to talk NHL playoffs and bubble and hockey with us this week, and it's always fun.
A lot of good mix of comedians and sports figures and people who...
Subscribe to that. We do a daily podcast, too, called Sklar Bro Country, The Virus Edition. Check that out.
And we do another podcast called Dumb People Town, which is a lot of fun. We are busy on that front. We love being here. This is special for us. We enjoy talking sports and finding what's funny in the world of sports. And, man,
we got some good tweets, by the way.
We got good tweets from you guys. We appreciate
this. This is our buddy Vinny Hardy. I love Vinny Hardy. He said, Sklar Brothers, every rose has its thorn, and Jim Gray was mine when he interviewed me about betting on baseball. Regards, Pete Rose. Hashtag the gray area.
Wow. Yeah. Grecian.
Grecian formula.
The gray area is a good one. I would say Graymond Green.
Graymond Green? To make is he in the gray transition. Area?
He's
Graymond
in the gray Graymond Green? Usually, Draymond Green, usually the giver. When it comes to kicks in the crotch. Am I right on that?
Punches. If he's on your team, you love him.
Right?
You love that guy. Golden State Warriors fans, Michigan State Spartan fans love this dude. Everyone else, including Charles Barkley, does not.
Well, Draymond got the figurative punch in the crotch for comments he made on Inside the NBA about Devin. Okay, so Devin Booker on the show. Ernie Johnson pointed
out. Listen, Ernie. That's terrible, Ernie.
That's terrible. Hey.
Can I tell Shaq to tell Ernie to listen?
How is it?
Listen, Ernie, tell Kenny to tell Shaq to tell Ernie to tell Draymond to listen. I'm going to punch Draymond in the face,
I'm
Ernie.
A new Papa John's.
Ernie, listen.
I'm the new Papa John.
Ernie, tell Kenny to tell me to tell you to listen.
I'm the new Papa John. That is Shaq just telling you all the commercials he's in and Charles.
He is in so many.
Shaq's commercial career has really taken off, and I say good
unreal.
For him. I
would
him.
Put him in everything.
He is maybe the most lovable guy ever, and then you realize that Charles is kind of lovable too. That's why the show works. Kenny too,
Ernie too.
That's why I'm like, why are you putting Draymond in this show?
Okay,
we get into it. All right, so Ernie points out that the Suns won their first four games in the bubble. That's
notable. They played great. Last second shot, nail in the coffin against the Clippers. Booker, boom,
and it's good for
Splash.
Phoenix. Good for the Phoenix Gorilla, which, by the way, say this on the show. I've never understood the Phoenix Gorilla as a mascot. Are gorillas indigenous to the Phoenix area?
Yeah. Out on Camelback Mountain.
I think it's Silverback Mountain.
It used to be called Silver because of all the Silverback gorillas that were hanging out in the Phoenix area.
And then when it got super hot, the Silverback gorillas would come down into the Phoenix area to the restaurants, the outdoor cafes.
That had the misters on just to get cool.
And
Jane Goodall,
she wrote a book about it called Gorillas and the Misters.
Yep.
All right. So Ernie mentions to Draymond Green, isn't that interesting? They win four games. And his response is happy that he's playing well, but my man Booker has got to get out of Phoenix. And he said, sorry, Chuck. So we kind of directed it at Chuck. He said, get him somewhere where he can play good basketball all the time. And then Ernie said, are you tampering? And then Draymond said, maybe. And then everyone laughed.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
You can't even say maybe. You say, no, I'm not.
Because the NBA is like, that'll be $50,000.
No, Draymond Green says, listen, there's maybe a COVID outbreak. And I don't know if Arizona is handling it that well. Booker is my guy. I want him to be safe.
You got to make it about other things.
You make it about everything but what you just said. Maybe I was tampering with
it. But let's go back and let's unpack Draymond's take, okay? Because I think it's a bad take. Especially after Phoenix is starting to put some good games together, all right?
Young talent. It's Ayton is playing off the hook. I love this team.
And let me say this. If they don't make the playoffs, which I don't know that they're going to, if they don't make the playoffs, they get a lottery pick.
Yep. They're just going to keep stockpiling.
Isn't that the best place to be if you're an NBA team? A team that's on the rise in terms of the way they're playing, but you need
one more piece.
So the worst place to be is on a team that you got aging guys and you're still making the playoffs every year. And you're just kind of declining a little bit every year. So That's a horrible place to be. But if you're a team on the rise, but your record doesn't reflect it yet, that means you're going to get another piece this year. You're going to get another lottery pick.
The Suns are fun. Like, your son is 12 years old.
Right.
I'm not talking about the S-U-N.
Right. My son is 12.
Your son is 12 years old. He likes the Suns.
He loves Devin Booker.
See, young kids like the Suns.
He loves Devin Booker.
Okay, so like...
Devin Booker also looks like a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You look at his face and you're like, that guy's a kid.
Is he shaving? No. Probably not.
And if you look 4 or 5 years down the road at the West, who are the stars in the West? Is LeBron James going to still be around?
Probably not in 5 years, no.
Steph's going to be older?
Mm-hmm.
Even Damian Lillard's going to be older.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The Suns, fine. Look, had the Suns been losing every game in the bubble despite the amazing play by Booker, then okay.
All right.
Then it's a short-sighted take, but fine. Draymond, you can say get out of Phoenix.
But it's actually the opposite. I would say stay in Phoenix because you're building something there.
So let's start with the fact that Draymond had a garbage take, and he was completely ignoring Ernie's question, which was, hey, isn't that amazing? They won 4 games in a row. And then he threw it to Chuck. He said, sorry, Chuck.
They got the old beef.
Which, you know, there was huge beef where I believe Draymond said, I'm gonna punch him in the face. And then I watched a clip of them when they were on the show, The Arena, in July.
Oh, yeah. And where everyone was socially distanced.
It's still got to be there under the surface. It still is.
And oh, yeah.
It just shows you, even on The Arena show where they like said, I don't have an issue with him and I don't have an issue with him, but they're not looking at each other and they're saying
exactly.
It. He's got to try to stick it to Chuck.
Anytime someone starts being sing-songy, I don't have an issue with him. I don't want to talk about it.
Nothing you say out of your mouth is we can believe.
They got an issue.
So the league fines him $50,000, which, by the way, not a huge chunk of money.
Not for a multimillionaire, no.
And Draymond...
That's a message, nonetheless.
So Draymond's thing that he said on The Arena, why he doesn't like Charles Barkley... And of course, he had to get like a compliment in on himself. He was like, he hasn't affected my pockets. But you got guys out there like JaVale McGee and people who Barkley have criticized, who Draymond believes Barkley's criticism of players has cost them money on contracts down the line, not main guys. Now, fine if you believe that. I'm not sure leagues are saying, hey, what's Charles saying? And then we're going to decide.
I really want to pull the trigger on this guy, but can we please get the round mount of rebounds input in this trade?
So here's my question. What does Booker do in this moment? I think he's got to clap back and he's got to say something. You know, and yes, he came out with a statement. His statement was kind of vanilla about how the fans of Phoenix support the team. And so we got to be there for them. And he's got 4 more years on his contract.
You think he's got to go right at Draymond?
I don't think that's enough. I don't think what he said is enough. I think he's got
to. You thought that was a step back shot. You got to take it to his chest.
You
got to
drive the lane. Okay. Take it to the cup.
Okay.
He needs to say something that shows that he's got Phoenix's back.
Drop 50 on Golden State the next time you play there.
Right? On top of that, you know, who is Draymond to talk in this moment? They didn't make the playoffs this year. Yes, I know you were part
everyone's
of championships team.
Yes.
And everyone's injured and didn't make it. But my question is this. Why, and this is the ultimate question, why did the producers of the show put Draymond on this show?
I don't know. Because he's good TV?
Because it's a powder keg. Because they know that there are issues between
You want
Charles.
The beef between him and Charles to get up.
But the beef, and we've been to roast battles, and the best roasting moment comes when two people know each other and there's love underneath it. Ross told us that.
The best roasting moments are between Shaq and Charles on the show, or Kenny and Charles on the show.
So when Shaq says, Charles, shut up, I got to say something, you don't think that he's telling him to shut up because he doesn't want to hear his point of view. He's saying, let me get this out and then you can tell me what you want to say.
Yeah.
It's friends. And the camaraderie, I would actually argue the fun of that show inside the NBA is how much they love each other.
That's right.
And that allows you, the love that they have gives you capital in the space.
As brothers, we understand that. And if you don't believe us, go watch the roast that we did of each other on Comedy Central.
Yeah, go watch that.
And when Green was on the show, it felt different. You could not feel any of the love.
Right.
There was
no love. It felt uncomfortable. It felt distanced. I felt like they weren't socially distanced, even though the desk is enormous, the studio is enormous.
There's plexiglass between them like they're at the supermarket.
I didn't feel like they were socially distanced until Draymond was on the show.
Yeah. Then they were socially distant. They were distant from each other.
You roast someone who's your friend.
And there's love in it.
And I think truthfully, Draymond saying that about Devin Booker and saying he's my man, I think that's a shot fired at him. I don't think that's a let me protect my guy. And I think Booker needs to fire back.
You think so?
That's what I think.
Stand up for his team and the future of
his team. You're one of the top 3-4 guys in the league. Stand up for your team. Stand up for Phoenix. You could be one of the biggest stars Phoenix has ever seen. I'm including Charles. I'm including Kevin Johnson. I'm including Tom Chambers. I'm including all those guys. You could be that guy. You could be Phoenix's son. Favorite son. S-O-N.
Yep.
So now you have this shot and you have this moment, and I think you should clap back.
I agree.
What's Draymond going to say? He's not in the game anymore.
That's right. I agree. I agree.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
That's
our
all
take.
I asked for was an agreement.
I think we need a sports update. You ready for one of those?
I'm ready for one of those.
All right, let's get one from our good friend Bob Huesler. And this is Club Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. This is Bon Iver.
Great new song.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we're back. Finishing up hour two. That song gets me up every time. Tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, relive the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals as Zapata Atalanta squad battles Neymar and PSG. Don't miss the action on CBS Sports Network. I love it. I love that. I know not a lot of people, you know, soccer gets a weird...
Gets beef on this show.
But I'm telling you, I enjoy that, and that's going to be fantastic tonight on CBS Sports Network. What can we say? We've got great stuff in hour three. Rex Chapman is going to be on the line. Very excited to talk to him and get
Dude
his take.
Dude owns Twitter.
He owns Twitter, and we're going to talk about a little of his story, but really get his take on the NBA and college basketball. Is there going to be a season? I don't know. All four sports are canceled. What are we going to do here in certain leagues? So we'll get his take on all that. But I want to talk about what's going on in Major League Baseball right now. And so I don't know if he's on the line. Let's see if we can get him on the line. Our good friend, the batting stance guy, Gar Reines. Gar, how are you, buddy?
Sklar Brothers, doing awesome.
Like thanks, man.
Smiling cardboard cutout in Buffalo.
Oh, man, dude. When Brody Stevens, our friend who sadly is no longer with us.
You got it.
You got it. Enjoy it. 818 till I die. When Brody Stevens.
I'm a model in Pakistan.
Right. So I get BO in the shower, Brody Stevens. When he, there was a cardboard cutout of him at the Dodgers game, and ESPN, very smartly, they
stayed on
stayed
it.
On it and even threw an M&M's commercial. I got preempted. Yeah. that was a great moment. We tweeted it out, and thousands of people liked that tweet because Brody is around us. I thought that was a brilliant touch, and it is nice to see that. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and actually, Molly Knight did an article on, I think there were like six that we'll call them deceased.
Right.
Cardboard cutouts at Dodger Stadium. That is a really nice touch.
It's a great way to honor that. And, you know, look, baseball's happening. As we stand here this morning and talk about college football in 2-3 major conferences not happening.
Baseball's happening for everyone except Cardinals fans.
Like, but how is it happening? I mean, this is the we didn't bubble up, but we're trying to do it anyway, and the Cardinals have played 5 games and everyone else have played 25.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take every single game I can get. So I have, even when the players and the owners were squabbling over 60 games or 70 games or right. How much money do we get? Do we get 70%? I was taking it one day at a time because I was like, there's a total scenario that October is not going to happen like we think. So let's just, if we get 3 weeks of baseball, I'll love all 3 weeks.
That's right.
And when it all goes away, and had it not been the Marlins and the Cardinals, but like 5 teams,
yeah,
maybe it gets shut down. But it's so enjoyable to have it on. And you know, baseball is a little different than the other two sports. Curling. Sorry, everything else.
Yeah,
hockey.
Sorry, curling.
But it's the only sport where the defense holds the ball. You don't have to be that close to the other person.
Except for shifts.
In theory,
it's pretty so. Except for shifts, it's pretty socially distant, right? Right.
By the way, why in the world? Please help me out with this one. Why wouldn't Cole Calhoun say, "I'm hitting 190"? Jerks and Profar. I'm hitting 081.
Bunt it. Bunt it.
What if I just
bunt it?
Bunt.
Every
Joey
time.
Gallo could. bat over 400. Now, he wouldn't have any home runs, but he could bat over 400 if he just bunted it every time the left side. And by the way,
200 infield hits.
In a row,
200
times
infield
in a row,
yeah.
You'd have to shift back, and then he could
then he just.
Away again.
That's right. You show bunt on that first pitch to keep him honest. Play cat and mouse. Play cat and mouse with this.
Why? Like,
that's a great point.
Maybe I care about batting average more than maybe every Cole Calhoun knows. If I have 30 homers,
I'm still going to
get
paid
differently.
That's
than if
right.
I hit, you know, 280 as opposed to 240.
Right. I would love to see bunt launch angles. Wouldn't you? 0.01% launch angle on that bunt down the third base line. I mean, look, it's runners on. What did you make of, and are you excited about the sort of college football overtime? We start on the 25-yard line in extra innings.
Put a guy on,
put a guy on
the
second base, and let's end this thing without playing an entire extra game that goes to the 18th.
I love that it moves things along. So,
in
12U district tournament,
yeah,
we in our championship game for softball, uh-huh, we had that rule.
Yeah.
So I am familiar with that rule, and I just knew the game was going to end pretty soon. And I think, like, listen, everyone on this interview has multiple
kids,
daughters, yeah, or at least one, uh-huh, and wives, and so. The idea of, like, hey, honey, we've just spent 3 hours and 45 minutes at the park.
Yep.
How do you feel about two more hours?
Right. You know what I call that?
I'm fine. Nine innings is good enough for me. For my family, like, nine innings is pretty good. I'm not, like, 15 and have all the time in the world. So starting with someone on second base, I've seen probably five. I've just happened to have been watching a bunch of extra inning games.
Yeah.
I kind of love it because I feel like we're going to get action real fast. Even if the visitor scores, I feel like the home team completely has a shot to score too.
That's right. Absolutely right. They're in the same position. And by the way, there are a lot of wives out there who say that to their who drag their husbands to the games and
totally
say to them, hey, it's only going to be another 30 minutes.
I call that the get the snacks ready rule.
Right.
Get the snacks ready. Like, he's on second. She's on second.
I think the Phillies scored. Jason Stark figured out that the Phillies scored runs in the 8th, 9th, and 10th inning yesterday and lost.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that's ever happened before.
Well, okay, like, so, you know, of course we're Cardinals fans, and the greatest sort of back and forth was that Game 6 of the 2011 World Series where, you know, the Cardinals are down 2, they score 2, they come back, and then, you know, Hamilton hits a 2-run home run, and then the Cardinals fight back and score 2 more runs, and then they score. That was so exciting. You're basically baking that into an extra inning game. Do you think that survives this year?
I don't.
You don't?
I think this is not that because it's terrible or bad, but I think if let's say this whole COVID thing kind of goes away, let's say by next season, I don't know, there's a vaccine, something happens,
or even next summer,
there's no reason to speed anything up anymore.
Right.
Then it probably goes away. But however, I think there's been I love the 3-batter minimum rule for that, for the relief pitcher, unless you end an inning.
Yeah.
Because so I grew up in the Bay Area, and Tony La Russa basically started that whole
the specialization.
Hey, I'm gonna bring in a different relief pitcher for every single
pitch. That's
for
right.
Every single pitch, you know, left, righty, the match. It's like an NBA playoff game where the last 2 minutes takes like 45 minutes.
80 timeouts.
It's like eye surgery. You know what I mean? No one just fix the cataract, I don't want to see the 8 hours leading up to it.
So we can't believe there hasn't been a rule that, like, if you got a guy warming up in the bullpen, why does he have to come out and throw 8 pitches?
No,
let's get rid of that.
Get right out and start throwing your first pitch.
Yeah. I think, you know, the funniest rule is the one that if you leave by injury, it's like untimed.
Right.
So you can get a guy and he can go out there for 45 minutes.
And just throw pitches.
Just be throwing.
There may actually be a time limit now, but there used to never. That was like an untimed.
All right. So
that was an untimed thing.
Who has surprised you the most in this crazy shortened season thus far? And
who has disappointed you the most?
Right.
All right, I'm going to start with the caveat that if somebody hits 400 in a 60-game season,
right,
just like, by the way, Chipper Jones did 10 years ago in a 60-game
stretch.
Yeah, we don't consider him to be the last guy since Ted Williams.
No.
But hold on. Charlie Blackman is hitting 500
right now. That's amazing.
He's 33, for 66. He hits homers. He doesn't really steal any bases. He has crazy facial hair.
Yeah,
and
chops
and long
down
hair.
Trees. He's unbelievable.
He's a lumberjack.
Yeah, that's 500.
Yeah, that's unreal.
So I think someone figured out that if he hits 350 from now till the end of the season, he will end up over 400.
If Charlie Blackmon hits over 500, can we consider that like a 400 season?
I totally agree. I joked that in my predictions this year that like Luis Arraez of the Twins is going to be the first player to hit 725. I think 60 games is so weird. It's such a weird amount.
Yeah.
We never care about 60 games. No. I think Cody Bellinger last year through 51 games was like 411.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, J.D. Drew, I remember one time, started a season 0 for 25. And because it's the start of the season, everyone's like, he stinks. He ends the year hitting 300.
Right.
Everyone's like, he stinks. Like, well,
he brought it back.
Better.
He hit 390 in the last three, four months of the year.
I don't think Pete Alonso's going to hit under 100 this year with zero homers. You know. So the fact that it's a quarter through the season is a little misleading. And it's another way to say it's been 2 weeks. So I think the fact that the Rockies are in first place Charlie Blackmon sitting 500.
There's your surprise.
Bonkers.
All right, let me ask you this.
Last question
before we get out of here.
30 seconds.
So who wins the, if there is a World Series this year and it is between, you know, and it does happen, who wins?
Indians.
Cleveland Indians.
Are winning the World Series.
Or the Cleveland
Indians. If they can get out of suspension.
Yes.
And if they don't all somehow malfunction what
right.
they're doing.
There
all
you
right.
go. Cleveland
you heard
Indians.
It.
I'm going to tell the world right now, go follow Gar Reines on Instagram. Instagram.
At Batting Stance Guy on Instagram, at Batting Stance G on Twitter. Follow this dude.
Best videos ever. You want to laugh? You want to enjoy yourself? That's how you do
it. All right, we got Snooker Beef at the top of the next hour. It's the Sklar Brothers.
And then Rex Chapman.
Filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.